So, thought I'd forgotten my Bible, and I brought a spare. But I have my trusty preaching Bible here, with all the outlines that Suzanne has prepared for me there. So, this time of year, we have lots of talk about food and feasting and lots of things that we're enjoying. In fact, lots of different distractions going on in our lives right now. There are folks who have transitioned already in their mindset about their football team. Either, well, next year we'll get them, or, hey, we're going to go to the special bowl or whatever kind it is. So it's an intensification of distraction at a time when we ought to be paying more and more attention, because we are in the midst of a time, listen to me carefully, of judgment. I don't know if any of you recall, but in 2020, January of 2020, I said that this is going to be, I just felt like this is what I should say, and I think God laid it on my heart. In part, I was kind of making it a matter of perhaps humor regarding 2020 and vision, but I said, I think this is going to be a year of clarity in 2020. And I think there were some things that cleared up. I think there are things that people had a chance to choose between priorities in 2020, and they did, right? And in 2021, if you recall back about 11 months ago, 10 months ago, I said something along the lines of, I believe that 2021 will be a year of judgment. And I think it has been. And that's what I want to share this with you. I'm trying to help people to see that we need to open our eyes and see God's hand. Because we're going through times right now where we are already in a time of apostasy. The church is falling away by large numbers, especially among the young people. They're just refusing to return to church. And many of them, and including some pastors who are pastors of mega churches, have said, I'm no longer a Christian. So these men have served as pastors for some of them for decades. And they say, well, you know what? I was just fooling all that time. Just fooling. And now they're gone. And so we see the apostasy happening. And by the way, in the end times, we see pestilence. The Bible warns us about pestilence, right? And we were talking just briefly in Bible study about this new strain that has been introduced in the news. It was introduced well enough in the news for the Dow to go down over 900 points Friday, wasn't it? What's going to happen now? Well, they're saying, you know, it doesn't really look like it's going to respond to the vaccines. So what are our governments going to do? Well, we've seen this, haven't we? We call it the big shutdown, the big lockdown, because we don't know what else to do. Well, let me share this with you. Pfizer has said they have a treatment that you can't cure viruses. You can't cure viruses, but you can treat the symptoms that they create so that there's little or no damage to the body. Does that make sense to you? So we're still, our governmental intrusion says, let's follow after a vaccine so that nobody ever gets the virus. Well, somebody, who was it? Some singer, Brian Adams, he's fully vaccinated, and he's in the space of a month, he's reported being positive for COVID twice. So he's still getting enough of the COVID virus to make him positive on the test. Whether or not he's got symptoms, who knows? So what we needed to see, and by the way, Lorna left. John, they've got a little crisis at the house regarding plumbing. But John and Lorna, I were talking Friday, and they said, you know, it's become political. It's just, it's a political situation instead of a medical situation, and it's clearly so, right? I mean, I don't think you can argue whether it's become political. It's just a matter of who's made it so. You could debate, but the truth of the matter is, in my memory, as far as I know, in this nation, maybe in all of medical history, there's only been one other time when a disease or a virus or something became political. Do you remember what that was? I can't hear you. AIDS, HIV, human immunovirus, right? And do you know, interestingly enough, that's like 40 years ago, wasn't it? Do you know who was deeply embedded in that controversy? A fellow named Anthony Fauci. Right? I mean, go back and look, you see. And that just shows you, bureaucracies, the only thing they do worse than identify problems, acknowledge failures, is to solve problems. So here we have the same guy who, as far as I can tell, is following after this vaccine thing when we need to go with, well, what about the treatment? So if somebody gets the virus, can we treat them and they don't have any serious consequence from it? Well, that would seem to me to be a more important thing to do than to say, we've got this vaccine and you, I don't know if it's going to, because this Omicron does not respond to the vaccines, they say, right? It's not inhibited by the vaccine. So we're going to find that what we are seeing this Christmas may make last Christmas look like a Norman Rockwell painting, okay? Because if we've got this standard that says nobody can get another case, we go crazy over the number of cases. We don't care about how many people. By the way, the CDC does not count the number of people who have had the virus and are well now. Do you find that odd? That they do other diseases, but not this one. And so there's some things going on that if we're attentive, we can see there are things that match up exactly with what we would expect the end times to be. And that is pestilences that are going out of control. And there are famines in different parts of the world. There are earthquakes and weather things that are happening that are so unusual. Some of the West Coast is still getting rained on, I understand. And they've had more rain in the last few months than they normally get in several years, kind of thing. And it's just amazingly lined up with what the Bible says we should expect in those days that Christ called the end days, the last days. And so I want to share with you something about, now that we've all fed well, I mean, all of us have been feasting since Wednesday, Thursday, or, right? I mean, some of us make it a constant thing, but some of you have caught on for the holiday, right? So I want to talk about a famine, because we're ready for it. And it's on us. This famine is on us right now. And so before we go into God's Word, let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do come with our praise. We do thank you, Lord, that we can sing songs of joy, anticipating New Jerusalem, anticipating your intervention, not only in this nation, not only in our lives, but in this world. Lord, we thank you that you are an awesome God, that you are a merciful God, and that your Son is our precious Savior. For we pray in his holy name. Amen. So, I want to take you to the book of Amos. Amos. Now, Amos is a little bit difficult to find. Let me suggest to you that you go to Daniel and turn right. You get Hosea, Joel, and Amos. I think that's the order. Is that close? And so, Amos, you're going to love this. He was a good old country boy. He was a farmer. Jerry, he was a farmer. He kept sheep and he tended his trees and sycamore figs, I think. But he was a farmer. Now, he wrote this prophecy, and it's kind of interesting because he is from Judah, the southern kingdom, and his prophecy is to Israel, the northern kingdom. They don't like one another. They really have a hard time with one another. And, you know, let's face it, you and I can understand that, can't we? we had a little split a little while ago too, didn't we? So they never did really ever come. As a matter of fact, Israel, the northern kingdom, and Judah were often at the point of conflict, literally, with each other as well as other nations. And so think about that. Here is Amos coming, good old country boy with no credentials. He's come from Tekoa because he's a good old farm boy. And he's got a word from God. That's his whole credential. God has told me this to tell you. That's a pretty good credential in my book. Because to be honest with you, that's all I've got as well. I don't have any credentials either. And so he's come from the much maligned southern kingdom. And he starts off his prophecy in the first chapter. He starts talking about some of these nations that the people of Israel and the people of Judah all hate. For example, the Philistines. We just don't like them at all. They're terrible, horrible people. Yeah. And so they talk about how bad things are there. And then he moves on in and he says, how about those Edomites, for example? Well, now, wait a second. They're cousins, right? Edomites came from Esau. Who's Esau? It's the brother of Jacob, right? And so now it's getting a little bit closer, but you know, it's far enough apart that we don't like those people. We don't like those people. And then Amos comes up and he says, and God is going to bring judgment upon Judah. And at that point, the crowd goes, yes, yes, God is going to bring judgment on Judah. And finally, he says to the people of Israel, he says, God is going to bring judgment on you. And then it gets serious. I've told you before, people don't mind whatever you want to preach. Just don't get personal with it. If I don't care about it, go right ahead on. I'll sit through it, right? Well, that's not the purpose of the Word of God. The Word of God is intended, what is the to cut between the marrow and the bone, and that the Word, the Spirit, the sword of the Lord. Right, and so let me share this with you. So as long as Amos was talking about these other nations and especially Judah, because again, if you think about it this way, think about how long this lasted. This is about 500 years before the time of Christ, about half a millennia. Okay. Millennium. And this northern kingdom would become Samaria, from which Samaritans came, right? There's a reason why there's a parable called the Good Samaritan. It's because the people of Judah didn't believe there's such a thing. They didn't think anything from Samaria to Samaria was any good. Do you remember how his apostles responded when Jesus was found talking to the woman at the well? Master, why are you talking to her? Well, because she needed the master's touch, is why he was there. And so this acrimony and this hatred continued throughout for centuries and centuries among those people. And so what Amos is about here is building an opportunity to tell the people in the northern kingdom, judgment is coming your way, and it's not going to be, it's no way to be turned away. It's inevitable. You cannot keep from the judgment. God can keep judgment from you. Now listen, did you catch that? God can keep judgment from you. Because judgment's coming upon the land. You remember in Exodus what horrible judgments there were. But the Hebrew children suffered none of them. So let's go, I'm going to ask you to go to chapter 8 of Amos. And we're going to see in chapter 8. Amos has a vision from God. And listen to what he says. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. Listen, that is frightening. I mean, terribly frightening language when God says, the end has come, I will not pass by them anymore. Can you imagine the omnipotent God speaking in terms like that? Now, what I want you to do is think about nations, but I also want you to think about individuals. And I want you to think about yourself. Because as I've told you before, God couldn't care less about a nation. I mean, let's be honest with you. Nations rise, nations fall. They do so at the behest of the only sovereign of the universe. But God himself has said, the nations are as dust on the scales. You, dear friend, are immeasurably valuable to God because he gave his only son for you. Do you see the difference? I'm not saying you're worth more than 10 million people. I'm saying you're worth more than all the nations of all the governments of the world combined for all these thousands of years. So when God talks about nations, he's given them the opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to turn from their sin, and they've refused. What happens when that happens in an individual life? The same thing. The difference is nations are not eternal. Every human being, please hear this, every human being is going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. We live in a binary world, okay? Every human being is eternal, and we are going to be in one of those places for all of eternity. The end has come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. And the songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day. Can you imagine? Instead of singing nice songs, it sounds like howling to God, saith the Lord God. There shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence. Hear this, ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone? Another festival, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah, a measure of this grain, small, and the shekel, the device they used to measure, great, and falsifying the balances by deceit. In other words, they cheat in every way. So the ephah that they're measuring by gets smaller and smaller. Okay, this is how much your wheat, how much wheat your money will you, and it keeps getting smaller and smaller. Have you bought a half gallon of ice cream lately? I'm just saying, it happens all the time, doesn't it? People decide, well, we're gonna make this thing smaller, okay? And you're gonna pay a little bit more for it. And the shekel, the weight device, would get heavier. So they were cheating in that way, and it says, and the scales are deceitful. So the rich people are cheating the poor people, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, sell the refuse of the wheat. The Lord hath sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. I will never forget. I will never forget any of their works. Now that, one of the things, people hate it when Christian people witness about Christ and talk about God. One of the things that they hate is the idea of judgment. Because I see people, listen to me very carefully, I see people that I have respect for whatever reason, they've fallen down and are not willing to quote the Bible. The verses I know they know or share principles that I know they know. You know, I've seen people, Rob Bell, anybody here named Rob? No, Rob Bell? No. Okay, so he calls himself a Christian, but he says, well, you know, there are other ways to God other than Christ. Well, is that true or not? And we were talking in the Bible study this morning, and the truth is we have our choice about Christ. You can either call him Lord, and I hope you do, but if you don't call him Lord, you must either call him a lunatic or a liar. And that's something people have been saying for, I don't know, centuries. It's nothing new to me or you probably. But Jesus Christ is either who he said he was, the Son of God, or he's a lunatic or a liar. So you have your three choices of which way you want that. But you can't say he's a great teacher, he's a good man, he's all these other things. No, so when he said John 14:6, I am, by the way, that I am meant something to the Hebrew people listening, right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me, right? He was serious about that. He meant exactly what he was saying. I am the only way of salvation. And now we have Christian people who are saying, well, you know, there are other ways. You can walk in the light that God has given you. And so I'm just sharing with you that people, Tony Evans, you may know Tony Evans, he says that, okay? And I'll be honest with you, here's one that I saw a video of someone saying that something very similar to this on Larry King's show and in an interview with the man from the Crystal Palace, Robert Schuller, Crystal Cathedral, right? And that is a man named Billy Graham. Did you hear what I said? So Billy Graham is saying, no, I don't think you have to call on the name of Christ to have salvation. I think you walk in the light that God has given you. I've seen the video, okay? And that's what I'm trying to share with you, is that for whatever reason, now that's several years, who knows how many years ago that was, but there's two times there, and Robert Schuller was just rejoicing. He says, so there's this wideness to God's mercy. God's mercy is very wide, but it need not be, because most people are going to reject that mercy. Jesus Christ said, if I am the way, and that's why he says to those who come through some other gospel, I never knew you, right? And so we have lots of people who are embracing that these days, and it's getting more and more people are saying, walk in the light that God gives you. Well, if the light is Jesus Christ, you're in good shape. But if it's not Jesus Christ, you have a real problem. Please understand something. The Bible is not going to change on this, because God is not going to change on this. And so we can be real nice people and love people and all these things, but the truth of the matter is, salvation is available through Christ and Christ alone. We were talking about that in the Old Testament. How is it that the Old Testament people came to salvation? They came to salvation offering a blood sacrifice, looking forward to the Messiah who was coming, who would be the blood sacrifice. Now, they didn't understand everything, neither do we understand everything on this side of the cross. We have the great privilege of having the Holy Spirit to guide us. We're still woefully inadequate to understand everything about God. But please hear this. People that you well respect and have heard preach, maybe you have books in your library from some of these people, have now said things that are just heretical. Heretical. And so, be aware. In verse 8 it says, shall not the land tremble for this, and everyone mourn that dwelleth therein, and it shall rise up holy as a flood, it shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt. Talking about the Nile flooding. And that brings a great break of fertility to the land. And it shall come to pass in that day. Listen carefully. This is the focus here. Saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon. I will darken the earth in the clear day. I will turn your feast into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins and baldness upon every head. And I will make it as the morning of an only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. A famine for hearing the words of the Lord. How many people do you know in your own personal experience right now that give evidence of great concern, of seeking after righteousness, of wanting greater intimacy with Christ, of wanting to be closer to God? How many people do you know, and I'm not talking about people who are following after some other kind of teaching that is religious. We got a huge number of people these days that are very religious. That is not what we're talking about. What does it say? There's a famine of the hearing of the word of the Lord. What does that mean? It means they're not, the people aren't seeking to hear from God. We don't like what we've been hearing, and so we're not wanting to hear anymore. And we're not going to hear anymore. This is what Amos is telling to Israel, but I'm sharing this with you because our country gives every evidence of having the same situation. We don't want to hear from God. We don't want to hear from the Word of God. We don't want to hear people preaching the truth, teaching the truth. We want to cling to these people who have these other lies that they're putting out because we're more comfortable with that. We don't want to think about a God who says, you must be born again. We want to hear about a God that says, I love you. Now listen to me carefully. If you say God is love, have you spoken complete truth? No. Everything that you said is true, but it's not the complete truth. Do you see the difference? And if we focus on this aspect of God, we miss everything else about God. And one of the things that's very important is that God is love. That's wonderful. That's true. But God is righteous. That is just as true. And please hear this. If you focus, and many people, have you heard of somebody named Joel Osteen? Does that sound familiar? Okay, so he's all about God is love, and he's correct. But he does not preach about the judgment of sin. And please hear this. If I'm sitting I'm rocking on my porch out in the country, and you're trying to get somewhere, and you drive by and you stop and say, hey, old timer, does this road lead to so-and-so city? Yes, sir, it does. And you go lickety-split right down the road. You don't realize until 15 miles later that you get to a point where a bridge is washed out by the river. And you got to come all the way back for many miles and then find a way around it. Did I tell you the truth? What I said was true, but what I conveyed was not. Right? Because what I should have said was, can't get there from here, got a washed out bridge. Right? That's what I should have said. You tell the whole truth. You got to go to that other city before you can get to that city. You can't get there from here. Right? So people are saying things that are only partially true, and they're saying it so frequently and so intensely and focusing on that so entirely that people have come to think that, so everybody, I've heard this said so many times, so everybody's going to get saved. And there are people who call themselves Christians who have become embracing things that used to be called universalism, universalists, Unitarians. Okay, you know, the Unitarians don't believe that Christ is God, right? So you see what we're doing here? We're seeing the apostasy of the church broaden out because one of the most important commandments is that we be nice. I think that's number 11. I'm not sure. But just be nice and don't say bad things about somebody. Listen, when I say things that you take as harsh or criticism, it's not either in my mind or heart. If it's true, it's true. And the consequence of that is, well, let's stop and see what we ought to do if what he just said is true. We probably ought to do something about it, right? And so God is saying, there's coming a time and it is unstoppable. That ripe fruit, we know what ripe fruit means, summer fruit. Boom, it's on hand, because you give it another day or two, what you got? You got a mushy mess, right? Right? So, you know, this is it. This is it. It's coming down on you. This judgment is coming on you, and there is nothing that's going to stop the judgment of the nation. Please hear this. Judgment is coming upon the United States of America. Even now, it is happening. And there's nothing that we can do to stop it, and nothing God will do to stop it, because judgment is required of sin. Please hear this. Well, aren't you glad you came to church after Thanksgiving? This is exactly what you wanted to hear. I want to take you to the psalm because I want to share this with you. Because what happens, Psalm, Proverbs 29:1. What happens to make God say, I have got to bring judgment on these people? There's nothing else that can be done. I have got to bring judgment. How does God get to that situation? We require it. For those of us who've been blessed with children, did you ever have a child that would occasionally just absolutely insist upon a spanking? I mean, there were times when Joshua was just as good a boy as you could have ever imagined. And there were some days he was like me. And so whenever he got to be like me, we'd give him a chance. You better. And at some point you say, okay, come on. And we give him a whip and he'd say, well, that's what I needed. I mean, I've just seen how that goes, and I've experienced that in a couple of different directions, okay? And so God says, if I've got to allow judgment to come on you for you to open your eyes, I'll do it. And look what it says here. Proverbs 29, verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. What does that mean? He that hardens his neck against the judgments of God, against the correction of God, will one day be destroyed, and that suddenly. Suddenly does not mean soon, it means with great haste. Everything's going fine, and then suddenly, how did that happen? We were doing great, and now we're doing horribly. Does that sound familiar? Did you ever read about an empire called the Babylonians? How many days did it take them to fall? One night. There's somebody, a traitor, had shared with the Medo-Persian army, we'll just block up the rivers, the waterways, and you can march your armies in through all these aqueduct things that lead under the gates into the city. And in one night, a great empire was vanquished. Don't tell me the United States cannot fall. I'm telling you, it will. I'm telling you, God says it will one day. I'm telling you that if it happens tomorrow, it doesn't matter because you and I are still in Christ. Do you see that? It doesn't matter because my Lord never changes. But I'm sharing this with you because you need to be aware and you need to be helping other people to become aware. I want to take you to 2 Peter chapter 3. And it says in verse 3 of chapter 3 of 2 Peter, knowing this first, that means primarily, of primary importance, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Do you hear people say things like that? Yeah, okay, we don't really buy into that Jesus coming back thing really so much. Where is the promise of his coming? Because he's already, this is in Peter's day. This is almost 2,000 years ago this was written. Okay, that he's saying there will be in the last days scoffers who say he's not coming because it's been too long. It's just been too long. He's not going to come back. Where is the promise of his coming since the fathers, by the way, there come the last day scoffers walking after their own lusts. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Now that, of course, is talking about the flood. And what parts of the Bible have we been denying for generations? The first 11 chapters of Genesis, right? That deny the creation and deny the flood, which is the judgment of sin. Why? Because we don't want a God that judges. We just want a God that gives us. We want this God who is more like that fellow that visits at the end of next month in the red suit, the white beard, That's the kind of God we want. Oh, jolly fella. And he does. Oh, listen, you're going to get something in your stocking. Please hear this. God said, there is coming, and now is, and I'm talking about the United States, I'm talking about it throughout the world, there is now a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. Because people don't care for it. They've got some other God they want to follow, one that's more convenient to them. Jerry said very rightfully so. I said, why do you think it is that people reject Christ? And he said, I think a lot of them, it's because they don't want to change the nature of their life, the behavior of their lives. Right? And I think he's right. So it's a willful decision to say, I'm going to live like this, no matter what the Bible teaches, no matter what the living God warns. And I want to share with you, the time is at hand. Judgment is coming now. We see the evidence of it right now. And I'm asking you to be personally prepared. Let's pray together. Father, we come with our praise indeed. We ask you, Lord, indeed, you are our fortress, you are our stronghold, you are our mighty tower. The consequences of this earth, the circumstances of our lives are of no consequence to us because we trust in you. And no matter what kingdom, government, official, whomever, we will stand with you. We'll stand on your word, the truth of it, and we'll proclaim it in every opportunity. Help us to be faithful witnesses, for we pray in the name of our Savior Christ. Amen. So this morning, as we have this opportunity, I'm going to ask you very simply, if God has spoken to your heart, if he said, yep, there's a judgment coming, and you need to get straight in this way. You need to do this. Whatever the Lord put on your heart, please respond today. If you're certain of your salvation, praise the Lord. And if you're certain of your walk with Christ, praise the Lord. if you're certain that you're doing all that you should be doing, praise the Lord. But in any of those areas, salvation, sanctification, or service, that you're not, now is the time to get right with the Lord. We're going to stand together now.